Radha Muni said, "Na, there is not he indeed, anya, another material enjoyment, jushata, of one who is enjoying, joshyan, things very attractive in the material world, different varieties of eating, sleeping, mating and defense, buddhi brahmsha, such endeavors, or such enjoyments attract the intelligence, rajaguna, being controlled by the mode of passion, Sri Madat, than riches, Abhijatyu Adhi, among the four material principles, attractive personal bodily features, birth in an aristocratic family, being very learned, and being very rich, yatra, wherein, stri, women, dutam, gambling, asava, wine, women and gambling are very prominent." Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni said, "Among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features. Taking birth in an aristocratic family and being learned. When one is uneducated, but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling." Purport. Among the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, people are certainly conducted by the lower qualities, namely passion and ignorance, and especially by passion. Conducted by the mode of passion, one becomes more and more involved in material existence. Therefore, human life is meant for subduing the mode of passion and ignorance and advancing in the mode of goodness. Tadarajas tamo bhava kama lobo dayaschaye cita itera navidam stitam sadve prasidati. Bhagavatam 1:2:19. This is culture. One must subdue the modes of passion and ignorance. In the mode of passion, when one is falsely proud of wealth, one engages his wealth only for three things, namely wine, women, and gambling. We can actually see, especially in this age, that those who have unnecessary riches simply try to enjoy these three things. In Western civilization, these three things are very prominent because of an unnecessary increase of wealth. Narada Muni considered all this in the case of Manigriva and Nalakuvera. Because he found in them so much pride, in the wealth of their father, Kuvera. I'll read the translation again. This is text number 8, chapter 10, canto 10. Narada Muni said, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated, but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Om Magyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Nitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Precharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Hadvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the first verse where Narada Muni is analyzing the situation of these two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. That these two debauchees, the two fallen sons of Kuvera, were so degraded that they had gone to a holy place where the Mundakini, we would say Mundakini, because Ganga flowing in the heavenly planet, she's known as Mundakini. So they had gone to that holy place in the association of attractive young women, and they got themselves intoxicated by drinking some alcohol, some maybe it was somras or something, I don't know, we're not told, but anyway, they were intoxicated, and in their intoxicated condition, they took off their clothing, and they were sporting in the waters with these young women. And at that time, Narada Muni had come there. And while the women felt ashamed and try to cover their bodies, at least they showed some shame. The two sons of Kuvera were so intoxicated and so bewildered by the influence of ignorance that they didn't even have the decency to cover their bodies. So Narada Muni is now describing the problem, that they're in this fallen condition because of the excessive wealth possessed by their father. Now, being the son of a rich man, if somebody's in that position, if somebody's so fortunate that they're the son of a rich man, then certainly the father will probably give a lot of freedom to his son. You give him a lot of facility for material enjoyment. We see often people from wealthy families that their father will buy a car for the son, and he will give unlimited access to spend money as he likes. And the son, he's just simply enjoying the money. He doesn't think about it, because it's his father's wealth, and he thinks, well, let me enjoy it. My father's rich, I can enjoy. There was one time, it was over in Africa, actually, in Kenya. The devotee who was in charge, Prabhupada wrote to him because Prabhupada must have seen the expenses or heard something about how they were spending the money. So Prabhupada wrote to him and said, "You spend money like the son of a rich man." So, you know, when the father's rich, you spend money easily. You didn't earn it. I remember when I was in China, there's a tale in China they have. I heard this tale anyway there. That the young man wanted to inherit the family treasure. But the father told the son that before I give you the family treasure, you first of all show me that you yourself can earn money. So the son himself, this father was rich, the son had never done a hard day's work in his life. He didn't know how to earn money. So the mother heard the situation, and the mother took compassion on her son. And so she gave the son some wealth. And then the son came and told the father, "Look, I've got wealth. I've got this money now. You see, I've earned this money." So the father took that money and he threw it in the fire. And what did the son do? The son just, "Oh, why you did that?" And then the father turned to the son and said, "See, I know you didn't earn that money yourself. Somebody must have given it to you. You didn't earn it because you don't value it." So that the son was exposed. So then the son went away. He was very determined. And he went away, and somehow he managed to find some job working as an assistant for some man. And he had to work hard. And after a long time, the son had acquired some money, he'd saved up some wealth, and he came back home and told his father, "This is my money, I've earned this money." And again the father took the money and he threw it in the fire. But this time, when he threw it in the fire, the son rushed forward and grabbed the money out of the fire. And the father said, "Ah, now I know that you've earned this money yourself because you value it more." So it's an interesting principle that when we have to work for something ourselves, then we will value it much more. But if we get things very easily, if it just comes to us from other people, then we take it for granted and we become lazy and we become strongly influenced by the modes of passion, and that passion of degrades to ignorance. So, as mentioned here in this verse, it's described how material life is based around these four things. Queen Kunti also mentioned them in her prayers. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Shri. Right? Janma, being born in a good aristocratic family, a noble birth. Aishwarya, having opulence, having wealth. And Shruta, being learned, getting a good education. And Shri, being very good-looking, bodily beauty. So Queen Kunti says, Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuma Naivarhati Avidatam Vai Twamma Kinchana Gochara. That she's praying to Lord Krishna that if someone is on the path of material progress, then they cannot know you. Material progress is based on these four things. And Queen Kunti said, you are the property of those who are materially impoverished. In other words, they're no longer attached to these material things. So Narada Muni mentions that from these four things, although these four things are all principles of materialistic life, the most deadly of them is wealth. Because when one has a lot of wealth, then one is inclined, very much inclined, to sinful activities. Wine, women, and gambling. These things become very prominent in the life of wealthy people. And we see, you know, the wealthy people today, that this is their life for them. They go, they say, I'm going to club. And what they mean is, they're going to wine, women, and gambling. Very common. Not only in the West, even in all over the world today. Prabhupada writes, Western civilization. But we see the same thing in the Asian countries also today. The whole world is under the grip of the age of Kali, where this mode of passion is very prominent. People actually are thinking the mode of passion is enjoying. They're thinking a lot of enjoyment there in the mode of passion. They don't know the Bhagavad Gita. If they would just read the ABC of spiritual knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita, we learn that the result of the mode of passion is always distress. So this is the situation actually, that people so much attached to material activities, this wine, women, and gambling, and they're thinking they will enjoy, they don't know simply it's going to bring them suffering. So Narada Muni, he is very much aware of the situation. He understands how much these two sons of Kuvera are in the grip of the mode of passion and ignorance. So from Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he describes, and Prabhupada quotes this verse also in the purport, Tadara jastamo bhava kama lobo dayaschaye. That these two modes, this passion and ignorance, then they're associated with lust and greed and so many sinful desires, hankering for sense gratification. So materialistic life is all based on this, based around karma and krodha, lust and anger, and then greed is there. So Narada Muni is thinking, or rather Srila Prabhupada in the purport anyway, is explaining how Narada Muni understands how these people are influenced by the mode of passion, and it's degraded to the mode of ignorance. From the mode of passion, come into ignorance. So, how to bring them to the mode of goodness? Of course, the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for bringing people out of passion and ignorance and bringing them to the mode of goodness, cultivating the brahminical nature. Right. What does one have to do to become a Brahmin? When the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati had gone to England, they were asked by the wealthy man, what do we need to do to become Brahmins? And they told them, follow the four principles. Give up sinful life. Of course, that man said at that time, impossible. Because he was a wealthy man, he was addicted to these sinful activities. So, how to bring people up to the mode of goodness? Sometimes it's necessary to take away their opulence. Taking away one's wealth. This is the special mercy of Krishna. When Krishna tells Maharaj Yudhisthira like this, and 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned. When I am especially merciful to someone, then I take away all of their wealth. And in that helpless condition, then they can properly devote themselves to me and surrender to me. And Srila Prabhupada also saw this within his own life. Srila Prabhupada explained how initially his planning was that he would do his business and make money, and he would give money to his spiritual master. Give the wealth to his spiritual master. That is proper use of wealth. You give the money to the saintly people, because the saintly people know how to use wealth in the service of Krishna. It's not that all wealth is bad. Srila Prabhupada told us how there was one famous man in Bengal, and he was famous because people thought, oh, he's so saintly, he does not even touch money. And there was a famous picture of him with money on the table, and he was putting his hands out that he would not touch it. But Prabhupada said everyone knew he had a lot of money, this man. His money was all under the table. So he was making a show. And Prabhupada said, let them give the money to me, and I will count it better than any bank teller. And I will spend it all for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada explains the principle of using wealth is to use it in the service of Krishna. So sometimes, in order to help us to become fully attached to Krishna, however, Krishna arranges to take away one's wealth. Just like I said, Prabhupada had a business, and he was doing business, and he was thinking, I will make some wealth, get some money, give it to my spiritual master. But Krishna didn't want that. Krishna had another plan, and Krishna took away all of that wealth. Krishna took it all away. Prabhupada said, initially I had one home and five children. Krishna took them away. The family, when I had no money anymore, then the family no longer respected me and was no good anymore to live at home. I left home. He gave up one home, and instead of one home, after taking up fully the mission of preaching Krishna consciousness and beginning the Krishna consciousness society, then Srila Prabhupada found himself with homes all over the world and many more children than his initial family. Many more children who loved him even more than his own original children. So this is Krishna's nature, that sometimes he will take away something to give us something much more. So here in this particular situation, you see Nala Kovera and Mani Griva, that they have become very proud. Proud of their wealth. Of course, there's a famous saying, that we say, even the pauper is proud of their penny. You have even a little amount of wealth, you can feel very proud of it. So how much more pride these two sons of Kuvera had, because Kuvera has so much wealth. He's the treasurer of the demigods. So he has a lot of wealth. So a lot of wealth means big, big ego, a lot of pride. And a lot of this pride is also another kind of intoxication. The symbol of religion, according to religious principles, the symbol of religion comes in the form of the bull. And the bull stands on four legs. Satyam socham daya tapa. Or tapa socham daya satyam. Right? Either different ways. The four principles of religion. Socham, cleanliness. Satyam, truthfulness. Daya, mercy. Tapa, austerity. And that austerity, that tapa, that is destroyed by pride. And that pride, this pride comes from intoxication. People are so proud. They don't want to be austere. And we see in the Kali Yuga, we see today in the modern world, how people, they run away from any kind of austerity. They don't want to do any kind of austerity. Very difficult for them today. The thought of even a little austerity frightens them. If you ask someone to do a little fasting, like, you know, fasting on Ekadasi, no grain. Oh, that's very difficult. No grain, no rice, no bread. Oh, how can we live? How can we manage without that? So, a little austerity, very troublesome for people. We ask people to come in, when they come into the temple, take off the shoes. Oh, walk without shoes. Very difficult. Just even a little austerity is very difficult for people. If we were to ask them to walk on their hands, then okay, that's a bit difficult. But to walk without shoes, but still for some people, this is considered, very difficult, very much, so much trouble. People don't want to do austerity. And because they don't want to do austerity, they become very proud. They become very much in the bodily conception of life. And so long as they're in the bodily conception of life, then they can never develop their spiritual consciousness. They can never understand the real mission of human life. Therefore, very important to get people to cultivate this mode of goodness. Cultivating the mode of goodness, and the symbol of the mode of goodness is Brahman. One should know how to cultivate the mode of goodness. The Brahmana is supposed to be the symbol of the mode of goodness. Now, Brahmana does not just simply mean initiation. It's not just simply by initiation that you become a Brahmana. Brahmana means to have the qualities of the Brahmana, as Lord Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita. There are actually 9 qualities mentioned there. samodamas tapasocham shantirarjavam evacha jnana vijnanamastikyam brahma karma swabhavajam. This is mentioned there in 18th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Other qualities for the brahmanical class are also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. But just looking at these qualities as described in the Bhagavad Gita, we can see what is important. Cleanliness is a very important principle. Just like nowadays with this coronavirus, we're hearing so much about wash your hands. Wash your hands with soap for 20 seconds. They say, wash your hands. That should be natural, to wash our hands regularly. We touch something, we have to wash our hands. Before we do this, wash our hands. After you do that, wash your hands. Devotees regularly washing their hands. But this disease comes, a lot of the problems, these diseases in the modern age come due to lack of cleanliness, unclean habits. Or just simply getting people to wash their hands. What to speak if we ask them to take a bath? Srila Prabhupada was surprised when he went to New York, because coming from India, he was accustomed to bathing every day. But he came to New York and he was surprised to see that people didn't even have facility for taking a bath. If they got a bath once a week, they were lucky. So Prabhupada was seeing New York supposed to be advanced, but level of cleanliness is not very advanced. The standards of hygiene are poor. People don't bathe regularly. They even have to be reminded to wash their hands. So, brahminical culture, cleanliness. When there's a dirty place, a brahmana has to clean it. The brahmana has to keep things clean. Every day, wash the cloth. Every day bathing. Brahmachari takes bath one time a day. Grihastha should bathe twice a day. Sannyasis should take bath three times a day. Now some parts of the world, it's very difficult. Just like very northern regions or southern regions of the planet, very cold, very extreme conditions. And people often have no bathing facility, no hot water. Very difficult to bathe. So, another principle by which we can bathe is by chanting the holy name. Lord Chaitanya taught everyone how to clean the heart by chanting the holy name. So the loud chanting of the holy name helps us to clean the heart, so that we can develop our purity. Cleanliness, and very important. Truthfulness, another important quality. For Brahmins, essential. A Brahmin must be truthful. Prabhupada told the story, there's a story, the young boy wants to enter the school. So the teacher asked him, who is your father? Because usually people want to go to school, the father should be like a Brahmin. Brahminical children, if the father's a Brahmin, then the child will be easily, it means the child will have a Brahminical culture, a Brahminical nature, will be easier for him to cultivate the education, to take up the education. So they asked the boy, who is your father? So the boy said, I don't know. I'll go and ask my mother. So when he asked his mother, mother also said she didn't know. So the boy came back and told the teachers, my mother doesn't know who is my father. So then the teachers understood, this boy is very honest. He doesn't hide the truth. Most of us, we would feel embarrassed, we will feel uncomfortable, we want to hide the truth, and we say things which are not true to cover up our wrong, our guilt, or our shame. But this boy showed the Brahminical example. He told the truth. My mother doesn't know who's my father. So they say, okay, you can become student. Because he saw, very truthful. Being truthful, very rare in this Kali Yuga. There were great kings in the past, kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Janaka. They would rather die than tell a lie. Maharaj Dasarath, right? He would rather die than tell a lie. He would give up his life rather than tell a lie. But today, if people have to tell the truth, they'd rather die. They're so afraid to tell the truth. So Brahminical culture is lacking so much. These qualities of the Brahman, the qualities of the mode of goodness, they're very necessary to be cultivated. Of course, by practicing Krishna consciousness, then we naturally cultivate these qualities. We follow the four principles. We avoid sinful activities by strictly following the principles of Krishna consciousness. There's no sin. That means we come to the mode of goodness and we develop these Brahminical qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam says, evam prasannam manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavad tattva vijnana mukta sanga shajayate. Actually, that's the next verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam after the one quoted in the purport. After we surpass the modes of passion and ignorance, then we come to the level of goodness. From the level of goodness, we've come to the Brahminical level. We have to go on from that Brahminical level. Just simply knowing that we're Brahman, that is only the beginning. That is not perfection. One has to become a Vaishnava. One actually has to become a devotee. So we may know we're not the body. That's the beginning of the spiritual path. But we have to go on to understand our connection with Krishna, with the Supreme Lord, that we have a relationship with Him. Just simply coming up to the mode of goodness, becoming a Brahman, that does not make us a devotee. That does not make us a Vaishnava yet. We have to go on to understand the nature of the Lord. So this is why we should come up to the mode of goodness. Come up to the mode of goodness, then come to the level of pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva. In pure goodness, one will not fall again under the influence of the modes of nature. One will be transcendentally situated. So, Krishna consciousness movement is to save us from becoming victimized by all the wealth which people may have. We see in the material world, everyone is so anxious, so eager to get wealth. They work so hard. They will risk their health. They will risk their life. They will do incredible things to get money. One time on Sankirtan, we were distributing books. I met this one man, asked him what he did for a job. He told me, he said, he worked, his job is to he has to go where there's unexploded bombs. They find bombs which are not yet, you know, somebody planted a bomb, and he has to go in and he disconnects them so that they won't explode. I said, isn't that job a bit dangerous? He said, oh yeah, very dangerous. Any time you don't know, the bomb may go off in your hands. You may be killed. This is what he was doing for a living. Another time I met someone, his job, he was inspecting buildings, but he would inspect skyscrapers, the outside of skyscrapers. So he would climb around the outside of skyscrapers to check that there's no cracks or no faults, that nothing's falling off. Very dangerous job. People do these kind of things for a living, just to earn their livelihood, risking their life. Human life is very rare. People don't know how to make the best use of human life. They think life is just meant for working, to get money, to enjoy, to fill the belly. That is the fool's philosophy. The hedonistic mentality cannot bring people the goal of life. Real human life is meant to get out of birth and death, giving up this material body, that we won't come back again. No more birth. That is the mission of human life. So Krishna consciousness wants to make people more aware of the situation. But people are so much blinded by this fool's gold. This stool, this wealth, this gold is just like stool. Similar color. There's a fool's gold. Just like stool. They're thinking this will bring them happiness, will bring them pleasure. They don't know. It just simply bring them sorrow, bring them so much trouble. So, in the Vedic society, uneducated people, like the Sudras, people simply working, they would not be given wealth because they didn't know how to use it. They would be given food and a place to sleep. They would be given clothing. But they wouldn't be given wealth, because if you give wealth to uneducated people, they simply use it for wine, women, and gambling. Therefore, Prabhupada's program was, wealthy people who've got a lot of money, let them give 50% for the service of the Krishna consciousness movement. Let them give 50% to help to put on big festivals, to glorify the Lord, or to print books for educating people in spiritual knowledge, or for building big temples, giving their money for something like that will bring them real benefit. It will save them from going to hell. But if they simply use their wealth for wine, women, and gambling, they're simply going into the darkest region of hell. They're simply bringing suffering on themselves. Okay, so we will stop there today. Are there any questions? Any questions from them? We'll read the verse again. Narada Muni said, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande Hari. Where are you broadcasting to? Zoom. She's asking, what is tapasya? Well, tapasya means austerity. Austerity means accepting something which may be a little difficult for us. Accepting some bodily inconvenience. Because we're very attached to the body, we need to do some austerity to help us to get freed from this attachment to the body. So austerity can be observing things like fasting on holy days. Some people say, oh, Janmashtami, it's okay, you can eat, you don't have to fast. But we should accept the austerity of fasting. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Yatani, right? Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani, that by observing the holy days, the titis, the holy days, like Ekadasi and Janmashtami, becomes the mother of devotion. Bhakti Janani becomes the mother of devotion for those devotees who take shelter of them. How to get rid of pride? Well, we get pride. How to get rid of pride? We get rid of pride by voluntarily accepting some tapasya, by accepting some bodily inconvenience, like waking up early in the morning and chanting the holy name, doing japa, fixed number of rounds every day. It's a little austerity in the beginning. So we have to accept rules and regulations, following principles strictly. That is tapasya, that will help us. By doing that kind of austerity, the result is we will become purified. And with that purification, we can experience real pleasure. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Rishabdev. He was instructing his sons, 100 sons. So he was telling his sons, don't just worry about sense gratification. Because pleasure of sense gratification is available for even animals like the hog and the dog. They're also filling their belly and having sex. And so if you want that kind of pleasure, you don't need the human body. You can become a pig or a dog, and you can have sex and fill your belly, eat and sleep, mate and defend. But human life is meant for something more. So human life begins when we start to control the senses. So to control the senses, because we haven't been trained in this from the beginning, so it's a little difficult for us. So that is the austerity. We need to be trained. We need to practice controlling the senses. We need people telling us, don't do that. Don't do these bad things. Give up these bad habits. So this is austerity.
Is what?
Uh-huh. Well, the cause of the bad things, the bad things, right? The bad things come from material desires. Yes, material desire. We have desires, material desires. If we don't control these material desires, then we will do bad things. And if we have wealth, then the wealth, if we don't know how to use wealth properly and we have material desires, then we'll use the wealth to facilitate our material desires. And we will engage in all kinds of sinful activities, beginning with wine and women and gambling. So, yeah, you need to do these sinful activities. You may need wealth. You may have desires for sinful activities. If you've no wealth, you may find it more difficult to do these things. Right? If you don't have any money, you won't be able to, you cannot purchase alcohol. You don't have any money, you may not get such the beautiful woman you like. And how can you gamble if you don't have wealth? Because gambling, you have to have money. You have to use the money to gamble. So you cannot do these activities if you don't have wealth. You may have desires for these things, but you don't have any money, so therefore you can't do them. So then you have to think what to desire. Then try to think about other things. Hopefully you will think about chanting Hare Krishna and cultivating spiritual desires instead of material desires. There's other kinds of desires. We can purify the desires. Why worry about all these material things? People have to make great efforts to get material, to get wealth. They work so hard, or they go to so much trouble to get the money, and then when they get it, if they just do sinful activities, then they're the biggest fools, because they're not getting any benefit. They're simply bringing harm on themselves. Well, devotional service is very confidential. If one has no knowledge of God, then one will not be inclined to perform devotional service. If we don't understand that there's God, then we would never think of serving Him. But one can be inclined to devotional service if one has friendship with a devotee. If you're attracted by a devotee and you're inspired by a devotee, then you may follow that person and you do what they do, even without understanding anything about God. But people in ignorance, they don't know anything, then they won't think about performing devotional service. We see people are influenced by the actions of others. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes, whatever actions a great man performs, then other people follow. Whatever standards he sets by his behavior, people follow that. They want to be like that. So we're influenced by the standards of great people. So it's very important that the leaders of society show the proper behavior, the proper example. But in the Kali Yuga, who are the leaders of society? Generally, the leaders of society today are all often immoral and degraded and addicted to sinful bad habits without good qualities. Rather, they're proud, they're intoxicated because of their fame, because of their position. They don't appreciate their responsibility and their duty as a leader. They don't understand how they should be acting and what they should be doing. So people need to be educated. No, not necessarily. We can chant Hare Krishna. The austerity recommended by Lord Chaitanya is the chanting of the holy name and performing Sankirtan. That is the real, the most important activity in the Kali Yuga. Drinking milk is very nice, of course. It's very nice to enjoy fresh cow's milk, but it's not absolutely necessary that we have to do fasting, just drinking milk. Rather, what we have to do is follow regulative principles and chant Hare Krishna. Well, among other things, it could be due to lack of cleanliness. Yeah, we're unclean. We have bad habits. Certainly, this coronavirus is our karma. It's a reaction due to our bad habits, and lack of cleanliness is one of our bad habits, that we have polluted the planet. So much. We've polluted the atmosphere, we've polluted the sound vibrations. In so many ways, there's the cleanliness is destroyed. The nice atmosphere of the countryside has been harmed. We've cut down all the trees, we built big cities, we built big airports, and we put so many satellites into space. We've done so much to pollute the atmosphere. Yeah. So we're responsible. And you can say cleanliness, gross and subtle. Not only gross lack of cleanliness, but also in the subtle sense that our mind and our consciousness is so dirty. Therefore, this disease has come about. Well, you have to know what are the qualifications of such a person. You have to be able to recognize such a person. Then you will find. If you don't know, that person, he's not going to advertise. He's not going to go around and say, I am the qualified. No, but there's no teacher like that will say, I'm the one, I'm the qualified man, I'm the pure man. No. You have to know yourself who is actually the qualified teacher then you, when you are convinced, then you will understand. So first you have to educate yourself. You have to know how to recognize such a person. Then you have to go and look. There are many qualified such people, but you have to be able to recognize them. They're not going to advertise. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, thank you, Jalangi.